We recorded this back in November in a Hilton Hotel bar and restaurant in Nashville while we were attending the SALT conference. So please excuse the loud music. That's, you know, you might hear some Snow Patrol, Wham, or Good Charlotte amongst many, many others in the background. And also please excuse the sounds of the glasses and plates moving across the table. Unfortunately, I was unable to edit those out.
Welcome to the podcast from the Temple.
I'm Rabbi Peter Berg.
And I'm Rabbi Lauren Filson-Lapidus.
This episode is brought to you by the Temple, Atlanta's oldest and youngest synagogue.
So last year, I made the pilgrimage to Nashville, Tennessee, to a conference called SALT, so named because just as salt brings out the flavor of food, salt in worship brings out that little extra creative piece that brings out the flavor of the worship service. This is a church technology conference, which I came to because of all the technology that we had installed that not a lot of synagogues have. And I was supposed to make this pilgrimage with, it's really not a pilgrimage, I guess. I was supposed to be making this journey with Dan Fishman, our AV manager, who decided to get COVID.
Yeah, well.
So I had to.
I was, you know, I was a bit of a late adopter on it, but.
Yeah,
and I eventually got it.
Right, and had to watch from home, and I had to experience this. I want you both to think about what it was like for me by myself. So this year, I am here with our entire AV team. So I have Dan and Marshery and myself, and we have just finished a full day at SALT. We're in Nashville, Tennessee. We are awaiting our bourbon drinks. And, well, Marshery's here, so we are going to record for the podcast.
That's right, that's right.
So was it everything I promised and more?
Well, I'm going to start here and say that it was an interesting experience.
Interesting is a neutral word.
That's right. I'm going to continue to use that word, which I was corrected by Rabbi Lapidus.
I think it's Lauren. We're sitting in a bar.
We're sitting in a bar. Okay. So Lauren told me today that, I like to use the word interesting because it leaves it open for interpretation.
Or you're hedging.
That's exactly right.
Fair.
So it was an interesting experience. I do say it was positive. I feel like I got something out of it. And I think, like most conferences I've been to, I get something out of it that I wasn't expecting. Mm-hmm. But it was exactly what you described. It was exactly what you described. And Marshery and I were sort of adventurers on our own here yesterday.
Yeah, I came in this morning.
Lauren came in this morning, and Marshery and I came in yesterday. So we were definitely felt like I did not feel singled out in any way, which was nice, as the only two Jews probably in the worship experience last night.
Yeah.
But I thought the details, I think, you know, are
there was no exaggeration.
Yes.
There was no exaggeration. It was just exactly as you said.
Yes.
But to bring forth like the whole salt thing, it's actually a song. It's
really?
Like salt and light in the world. So salt, to be salt and light, is something like to preserve and illuminate.
Yes.
Oh, that's why you said, and there it is, mm-hmm. this morning. Okay.
Yeah, which I'm thoroughly shocked that they didn't open the whole thing with the song, but
maybe they used it.
It's their decade anniversary, so I assume they would bring it back and like break it out for
and
this
I wonder,
maybe
location.
Maybe they're bringing it back tonight at the praise service we're not at.
Correct.
But I wonder if, you know, like the flavor thing was part of the what they had. They wove through the theme, because, you know, they have probably the themes that they have each year, and it could have been that was the flavor was part of what they were talking about last year.
Yeah. I am just going to put a pause here, and I'm pretty sure that the bartender mixed up our drinks, so we have to see if it's a Manhattan or an old-fashioned.
Okay.
Surprise.
Yeah. All right. She's making the old-fashioned right now for you.
Oh, great.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Excellent.
You guys all set to order?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
I think we'll start with
I'll grab
this.
The...
Yeah. Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah. Well, those look
Let
good.
It also be...
Yeah.
He always gave me...
supposed to have two.
I asked for two cherries.
Well,
and I'm feeling extremely...
You get one.
I only get one.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly. But there's fancy ice cubes.
Yeah,
and
fancy ice cubes.
But yeah, you know, the whole idea of coming to this conference is to be around other people who do creative worship production. I do like how they call it creatives. You know, this idea of
yes.
It's not AV techs, it's not camera operators or audiovisual. It is the creative energy within the church. And I feel like throughout the day, everything we've seen, and we've also been in different workshops, has been a question of how does that come back home? Because some of it really can be, I think, be translated.
Yes, awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I know she wasn't going to say anything, but could you get one more cherry?
Yes.
You did ask for one more cherry. I did put it on there, but I'd be happy to get you.
Thank you. I
get
feeling
you like three more cherries.
There we go. Now we're on to something.
There's a story behind the cherries. I mean, this is like, you know, it's the best last drop.
You even told him the story.
So yes.
I did. Yeah. And so clearly he was not listening.
He was, but then to be fair, he was like, oh, I mix everything up, but I'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out. Yeah. So, but the one thing I was going to say about it is that I thought that the only thing I agree with you. I think the use of creatives, I think I like that, right? Mm-hmm. I do like that. But I also, it's another one of those like trendy kind of like
hipster terms.
Oh man, we're creatives. All the creatives are here.
Yeah.
You know, and all the like, just all the terminology is a little much.
It's
but
the creatives against the pastors.
Yes. Yes.
There's a bit of that.
But like I said, I think that overall, I think it's been really good. I think you're right. I didn't think about it in those terms of like, it is dealing with other people who do creative things around worship. So, you know, the one thing that I did research and I think I'm waiting for a price on is going to be the flash pots, you know, the fire. So we're going to probably.
My eyes are so itchy.
The flash pots. I was thinking about we should get, for the podcast, I think if we should, Peter should find out that we're going to put flame in the sanctuary. It's just live flame, but it only shoots.
In a historic sanctuary.
It only shoots 14 feet. It's only 14 feet up.
Yeah, and now that you're here, I would like to talk about a bubble maker, because they had one of those.
Awesome, thank you.
They had a bubble maker. They had, thank you. Let the record reflect that Marshy and I have been gifted each. He said he was going to bring three, but he only brought these cherries are hot.
Thank you.
Well, here.
Okay, cheers. So cheers to the Jewish creatives.
To the Jewish creatives. But
I'm drinking Jack Daniel's Triple Mash. It's actually very
it's
lovely.
Not bad.
Yeah, this is good.
So let's see. We've seen a cotton candy machine.
Mm-hmm.
Root beer on tap.
Yeah. Alongside the cream soda on tap.
And fresh popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
All in the same room with Mario Brothers.
Oh, that's right. It had video games.
Yeah, they had video games.
Yeah, I mean, that was the one thing I was not expecting. I mean, I kind of knew that was going to happen, but I didn't realize just how much sales stuff was there. I mean, it was actually nice because I got to talk to some vendors. But I was a little surprised at how much of that was there.
Oh, yeah.
But it was like a regular convention anywhere else. But the amount of, it's funny because, you know, certain conventions you go to and they're giving away, like, especially after hours or whatever, you know, that people are always having, like, cocktail parties sponsored by, like, L Acoustics. You know, they're going to have a thing and there's free beer.
They're having a praise worship ceremony.
Yeah.
I will say the cool thing was, the cool thing was, as we were leaving, they had like 7 or 8 food trucks out for dinner.
I would love to do that at Temple.
Oh, yeah.
I also want to sell Jenny's ice cream in our coffee shop.
Yes, we want a full service coffee shop they have.
Peter, you should know, today from a church coffee shop, I had a grilled cheese, tomato soup, iced tea, and could have had Jenny's ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
What was the name of the coffee shop?
The Good Cup.
The Good Cup.
Mm.
They're also giving away free Bibles.
Were they really?
Mm-hmm. It was interesting to be in a branding session talking about like the smells and tastes that indicate where you are. I'm still trying to figure out what the smell of our synagogue should be. But he's
fresh
like, what, you know, thinking about your the touch of the synagogue, and all I could think was the cushions and the hardwood pews.
Okay, so maybe June. the orange, I mean the lemon.
Lulav and the etrog.
And then
the etrog and the lulav, yeah.
Do they, I mean, does it have a smell? And if so, can we make that the scent of the temple?
I love the etrog smell. That would be amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was basically suggesting piping cinnamon or coffee smells, because cinnamon makes you think of home and coffee is just the...
It clears your brain.
Yeah. I mean, I like
piping
eucalyptus.
Piping it into the room.
Yeah. Or just in the building. Apparently in Disney World, they pipe cinnamon bun smell from the time you walk in until you get to the cinnamon bun place. Because cinnamon makes you think of home. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. I mean, what is the... I will say for me, the most surprising thing was the E2I room where it has the light-filled catwalk with the cotton candy land, with the cotton candy machine, with the haze fog machine that made my eyes itch. Mm-hmm. That was definitely a lot.
Yeah. Walking in the front door was a lot. Whoa. It was like when we first walked in, it was like being bombarded with like 6 or 7 different stations.
Well,
all the while lights are flashing in your face. Fog is
the very
haze
first
is
night
there.
We walked in was like pretty intense.
Yeah.
Like,
again, imagine what it was like for me to walk in by myself. Yeah.
I made Marjorie walk in first, and then she checked out, and then came back and got me in the parking lot.
That's like safe. And who said chivalry is dead?
That's right. That's right. She definitely did the more masculine. She plays the more masculine role in that moment.
And I even opened the car door to come and get him back.
That's right, because I was you know, I was a little nervous in the car.
And future Marjorie, you can decide to cut this out. You know, we've talked about. You know, we've sort of joked around this, sort of like we don't really belong, or we belong here in that we have something to learn and something to contribute, but no one seems to care at all. Like, no one has asked about my yarmulke. No one has seemed to notice us at all.
Which is beautiful.
It is.
Except for that one guy that wanted to interview me, and I was like, no.
But I don't think he had no idea you were Jewish. I mean, he was just...
Well, and we met a colleague who's Presbyterian from Atlanta, and who also feels kind of, as coming from a more traditional liturgy, is kind of in a similar situation. But, you know, I feel like we've had a few conversations already today about how many men we see, how many white people we're seeing, and
the lack of
and what it's like for each of us to be there. You know, I think each of the three of us is coming in being perceived and interacted with in different ways.
That feeling of otherness, but not having it thrown in our faces constantly.
Yeah. Well, the thing that's interesting for me is, like, nobody would know that I'm Jewish necessarily, right? But the few times that it's kind of sort of happening, you're talking to a vendor or whatever, and then nobody is... Like you said, they don't bat an eye. They're just like, okay. Mm-hmm. And they just move. And so it's kind of nice to feel like I'm not being judged in any way, especially in a time when I feel like
the world is
judging and against us. And, you know, but here we are in a conference full of Christians who are in no way, they never made a comment to you.
They
never pointed.
Not even last year.
When we didn't stand for the praise and worship, they didn't point at us and say, pause. Right. Those two in the back, stand up.
Last year, I kind of thought they might. I was like, oh my gosh, please don't look at me. But I will say, it's been an interesting week to go from the D.C. march on Tuesday and then to be here on Thursday, and just to go from being surrounded by Jews and just like all in one voice, and then to come here and to look at what this means for the people who are here. Like, it's clearly their time to be nourished and to be taken care of and to be able to pray without having to produce. And so I'm glad y'all are here. I think we're learning a lot.
I really do, you know. It's interesting because similar to like the last time I traveled with you, in our trip to Montana.
Oh, okay. I was like, when else have we traveled together, That feels like an
eons.
Yeah, at least.
But I feel like it's been totally worth it. I was not Yeah, I mean, and I think that the everybody I met has been actually for a reason, and everything in there, it hasn't been as difficult as I thought to get something out of it. And even in the thing that we went to last night, where the guy was, it was definitely like a TED Talk for Jesus, was the feeling. Which he even said, you know, I mean, the guy
even completely dressed like Steve Jobs.
And he said that. The guy, so
there's
about,
clearly a color palette. Oh, and yeah.
There's a theme
with t-shirt, jeans, and something else.
And then the
cowboy boots,
shoes.
Cuff pants,
blazer.
Or the flannels.
Yes. Yep.
But yeah, so, but even in that, like, I still got something out of it.
And the DreamWorks guy this morning,
I thought was great.
Talking about narrative vectors and figuring out felt needs and.
Yeah, which I thought was really powerful because it's something we haven't traditionally done.
Yeah. But, I mean, in my most hopeful, optimistic times. So, I mean, if I'm able to go like 35,000 feet up and to set aside the politics and all the things, there is beauty in knowing that there are other people who just want to take care of their community and come back to something bigger than themselves. And I do feel a certain kinship, empathy to the struggle of how do we stay relevant at a time, you know, they were sharing that 30% of Christians have changed, like a church has to replace 32% of its membership to stay even every year because of how people switch. Mm. And when I heard that, I was thinking, wow, in Judaism, we don't have that problem. They just belong or they don't belong. Like they're not switching around. But it goes back to this idea of what are the threads and what's the consistency. And so it's interesting, I think, just good interesting, to pull that out and to say, wow, we actually have a lot in common.
But I also think, and the guy said it last night, and Neil actually is funny. Of all people, we ran into Neil Watson today. Shout out, Neil.
Yep, Neil, we love you.
Yep. Neil has always said, like, every time we talk about it, it's like, he's like, it's all, and John McKinnon said it too, from, shout out, hey, John.
From
In Touch Ministries. That, like, we're all going in the same direction.
Yeah.
So, you know, viewing it not as Jew-Christian, but as faith. You know what I mean? Faith-based. And drilling it down.
And not,
you know,
Democrat, Republican, or...
Right. But so
pro-choice, anti-abortion.
But the idea that, like... But the idea that just because... And he was using it, you know, in sort of these Christian terms, but saying, like, you know, God has chosen... Not chosen you, but has given you this opportunity, whatever... And, you know, he was saying, God, use me. And, you know, instead of saying, well, God, why don't you use me instead of using them? He said, you know, you should celebrate the fact that he's using somebody. Like, and so I think the same kind of thing, like Neil always says, you know, he's always like, look, we're all working in the same direction. We're all working for the same goal, just maybe different sides of the coin, but we're still on the same coin. And so I think that's the one thing that I'm taking away from this is, like, we can celebrate. Yeah, great. You guys are doing your Jesus thing. It's awesome. And nobody said anything about us doing our, you know, Moses thing. And we can all, like...
Thanks for not saying Yahweh.
Yeah.
Which I learned about that in class last week.
Yeah, just in time. Just in time.
So I think in that regard, I think it's... We are all had same goal in mind, which is to give people... something that is not on a screen in the sense of, like, it's not multimedia, it's not secular media. Mm-hmm. It is a media which is, the only goal is to help you be better equipped to have a better life.
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm. You made me think about how my day started. Which was
at 5 a.m. at 4 a.m. or whatever.
Well, so I left my house at 5:10, and I Ubered, and then because I'm going to MARTA back because of Friday before Thanksgiving traffic, up to, like, I'm not dealing with that.
Oh.
But
we don't get into like 6 something.
Yes, and everyone's going to be like, "Hey, let's go away for the weekend." Plus, it's just keep in mind I live 40 minutes from the airport.
Yeah.
Only downside of my lovely home. But So because of all the summer travel we've done, I have platinum medallion status. So I scored an upgrade on the way up here. And I found myself sitting next to a very charming older lady who was on her way for a girls' trip with her daughter and her friend and her friend's daughter.
Can I ask, though, before you get too far, what was she wearing?
She was wearing a red leather jacket over a black shirt, a black fringed leather and rhinestone skirt, black tights, and black on running shoes that were the same as mine, because we were, which are pink, so we were talking about that. She was wearing huge earrings. She had, and she had a gold rhinestone bag as her carry-on.
Sounds like the very Nashville, like,
right,
like uniform.
So I thought she was from Nashville. Turns out she's not. Now, to be fair, I was going to take a nap, but she started chatting and wasn't that nice. And then...
Wasn't it nice?
Okay, like, and so we're chatting a little bit. She's going to this girl's thing, and she's not from Nashville. She was traveling to Nashville, and so we're talking. And we ended up, after the Bloody Mary that she had, we ended up deciding to order mimosas together. So I had half a mimosa at 7:45 this morning, which might not...
That's very rock and roll.
Yeah.
Definitely not my usual thing. And so then later when she asked me what I did, I wanted to be like, yeah, you just had mimosas in the morning with a rabbi. Boom. Yeah. Anyway, so the reason I bring this up is because we were having this great talk about like her life. She's close to 80. And then she said something about, so what do you do? And I was like, well, I'm a rabbi. And then she got into this whole thing about how God is the chosen people. You know, we're the chosen people. Mm-hmm. And she was... She cried. She's like, what's happening to you? What's happening in Israel? She's like, I just can't. And so when you said, you know, this idea of God use us, but she was like all in on the chosenness. And I was like, well, we're chosen, but that's not necessarily what you think. And she's like, no, you're special. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to receive this, this blessing. Uh-huh. Our conversation did not end until we deplaned. So I did not get my nap. But
so it was a 30-minute talk.
It was like door to door. It was more like 59. And but like, what a funny way to start the trip. But like this idea of, you know, just hearing how she's thinking about us and thinking about Israel and thinking about chosenness and God's purpose. You know, it was a funny way to start my day. Yeah.
It's actually not terrible.
Yeah.
No,
it's a nice
way
to start your day.
I.
But not what you planned.
It was not what I planned.
But as they say,
woman plans and God laughs.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I think that's true about even us being here.
God chose you to be here.
Yeah, I mean,
you
right?
guys chose me to be here, so
that's because you're part of the team.
We thought this would be a perk.
Totally, yeah.
Really excited.
I am not complaining whatsoever.
But she is definitely pondering judgment.
That's right.
No, I'm just taking it all.
Yeah. The fries were pretty good last night.
What is it like for you to be here?
Good question.
It's odd to be at a bar with my boss's drink.
That's great.
That is the only way I know to have a boss. Every boss I've ever had.
Let it be noted, ethically speaking, I have not forced her into anything.
No, not at all. And that's coming from me being a former beer tender at New Realm Brewery on the Beltline.
Oh, interesting.
So, like, I didn't drink with my bosses then.
No, probably not.
Yeah, so. But it's...
So,
we'll cut this little section out.
But it's sort of like when we go to Israel, when we do things like congregants, are just like, oh my gosh, you're real people too. You've heard us talk about this.
Yeah, I've heard you guys talk about like rabbi
tequila
wearing
shorts.
Yellow
shorts.
Oh yeah, we talked today about how.
I can't imagine.
Right. So when people wear things they don't usually wear, like it shifts the proportions. It's like when I'm wearing jeans, people like don't know what to do with my legs.
Yeah.
It like shifts how they like.
Right. The first time I saw you in jeans, I was like, wow, you're wearing jeans. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm moving my office around.
Yeah. No. It's if I want to go incognito, I just put on a hat. No one expects me to be wearing
that's
a hat.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
So
we've come to the, hold on, we've come to the end of our dinner, a few drinks in, we've talked about each of our pasts and our journeys to where we are now and why we are the way we are. So what are each of us going to go do? Marshery?
Go and figure out the run of show for tomorrow evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am going to go catch up on a show on Apple TV Plus because I'm stuck on it from yesterday and I'm tired. And so I'm going to be the old man since I am the oldest person here in this group.
You are.
Far.
By a good margin.
But someone is coming to pick up Lauren to take her on vacation.
Shut up. That's horrible. If I get kidnapped by this Uber driver, you're going to feel bad.
You will not.
So Micah's college friend, who is now like one of our closest friends, and whose wedding we did a couple months ago at our house, I am meeting them for some music, and I am waiting for Jesus, the Uber driver, to come get me. Which, I mean, Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming for you.
It would be.
And he's a Jew, so it's fantastic.
And he's coming in a brown Ford Explorer.
Oh, well.
So if I'm missing, you'll know why.
Yeah, just
sharing my location.
Leave us the tag number of the, of the vehicle, just in case.
I mean, of course it's Jesus.
Yeah, but I mean, how can you, we could not have planned that. We could not have planned that. I'm just letting everybody know. Yes.
Jesus is taking the wheel. And with that, friends, this has been another episode of the podcast at the Temple, where we inspire lives and
transform our world.
Amen.
Dan a question because we were walking toward where the cotton candy machines were and I saw like a bunch of Bibles and I was like, how many different versions of like the Talmud and the Torah is there?
So
or is there different versions?
Well, so I was tempted to take a free Bible just to add to my collection on the shelf because the difference, so in Judaism, and I get asked this question a lot, it's not that the Bible is different, it's that the translation is different. So the Hebrew will be printed the same, but the translation and then the commentaries around it will look different. So I have the Robert Alter translation, the Women's Torah commentary, the New Reform Torah commentary, the Conservative Torah commentary. I also have the Christian scriptures for Jews, like the New Testament translated by a Jew for Jews with Jewish commentary. So there's a lot of that. I feel like with Christian Bibles, it's basically because you don't have an original text to go back to. So what you pick is an interpretation.
Yeah. Everything's an interpretation. I got you. Mm-hmm.